بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين، وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ولله الحمد الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات. And all the praise is due to Allah, who has completed all acts of righteousness. He has allowed us to gather together in this botanical garden, of which I've been informed by the coordinator and the director of Bab al-Nasr, Abdul Rahman Hafidhullah, is the oldest botanical gardens in the United States of America. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to gather together for this noble cause by His permission and by His will as a fundraiser to assist families here in this Delaware Valley area and throughout the United States, which includes women, children, and families. So we find it appropriate this afternoon, inshallah ta'ala, to talk about an issue that has been addressed by Islam and by the Quran and by the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and commented upon by the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Imams of the Salaf. And that issue is the issue of al-masa'ib wal-balaya, calamities and misfortunes. Calamities and misfortunes. And the ulama of Islam, they say that calamities and misfortunes are a test and a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for a person. Similar to medicine, even though the medicine is bitter, despite its bitterness, you give the medicine to the one whom you love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, and Allah is the highest description. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these tests and these trials and these calamities and these misfortunes, these diseases, these mishaps. All of these things He gives to us as a part of the sign of His love for us. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that is collected by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ عِظَمَ الْجَزَاءِ مَعَ عِظَمِ الْبَلَاءِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا إِبْتَلَاهُمْ فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ رِضَى وَمَنْ سَخِطَ فَلَهُ سُخْطُ. The greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. Listen to the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. When Allah loves a people, He tests them. Whoever accepts that, meaning accepts that test, wins His pleasure. But whoever is discontent, meaning discontent with that trial or that calamity or that disaster or misfortune or disease or being homeless or not having enough to feed your family, any of those things, if they're discontent with that, then they earn Allah's anger. So the ulama of Islam, they say that calamities are good for the believer in the sense that reward is stored up for him in the hereafter by way of that. And how can it be otherwise when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that person to be raised in status? And how could it be otherwise when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that person's bad deeds to be expiated? For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ الْخَيْرِ عَجَّلَ لَهُ الْعُقُوبَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِذَا أَرَادَ بِعَبْدِهِ الشَّرِّ أَمْسَكَ عَنْهُ بِذَنْبِهِ حَتَّى يُوَافِيَهُ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه الترمذي الإمام والإمام الألباني صححه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, when Allah desires good for his slaves, when Allah wants good for his abd, he hastens, he brings quickly the punishment for him in this world. And when Allah desires ill or evil for his slave, he withholds the punishment for that particular sin, meaning that that person committed, until he comes with all of his sins on the day of resurrection. This hadith is collected by Imam at-Tirmidhi, like the hadith that came before it, and is classified by Imam al-Albani as sahih. So we ask the question for all of the sisters whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested, either because they have committed some sins, or either because their husbands have committed some sins, or because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing them by way of a trial to raise them in rank, who is it amongst us if we're being punished and nothing can remove the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except Allah? That's why we shouldn't run away from the punishment of Allah to anything that's created. We should run from the punishment of Allah to the one who sent it, because he's the only one that can remove it. No drugs, no alcohol, no human being, no angel, no prophet, no sheikh, no imam can remove the punishment of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. The only one that can remove the punishment of Allah is Allah. Who amongst us would not want to be punished and tested and tried in this life instead of having that trial or that punishment as a result of it stored up for him or her in the next life? There's not one who has any aql, any sense whatsoever, that would desire to have the punishment in the next life. Some of the ulama of the past, like Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, one of the kibar al-ulama of the time of the tabi'un, one of the major scholars, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, لا تكره البلايا الواقعة والنقمات الحادثة فلرب أمر تكرهه فيه نجاتك ولرب أمر تؤثره فيه عطبك. الحسن البصري رحمه الله تعالى. And if the sisters cannot hear, then they should come closer to this tree that is in front of us, or behind us, for those who are sitting in front of me. If the sisters cannot hear, then they should come to the tree where that brother is standing with the gray shirt, so you can hear properly, because this is for all of us, from the Lord of the worlds and the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, do not resent the calamities. Do not resent the fact, sisters, that you were evicted from your houses. Do not resent the fact that you don't have enough clothes to put on the backs of your children. Do not resent the fact that you don't have enough Pampers to put on your children, enough shoes or socks. Do not resent the fact that you don't have enough to eat, or that your electricity has been cut off, or the gas has been terminated. Don't resent the calamities. Don't hate the calamities. لا تكرهوا البلايا الواقعة والنقمات الحادثة. Don't resent the calamities that come to you, or the disasters that occur to you. For perhaps in something that you dislike will be your salvation, and perhaps in something that you prefer will be your doom. One of the imams of the Salaf, Al-Fadl ibn Sahl, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ فِي الْعَلِلْ لَنِعْمْ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْعَاقِلْ أَنْ يَجْهَلَهَا. He said, there is a blessing, or there are blessings in calamities. There are blessings in the fact that you were evicted, and the fact that your lights were turned off, and the fact that you found out that your children have lupus, and the fact that you have been struck with calamities. There is a blessings. There are blessings in the calamities. That the wise, intelligent, thinking person, the person that understands who Allah is, the person that understands why Allah has sent that his way or her way, that wise person, they understand that there's a blessing in the calamity. And that wise person should not ignore it. Then Al-Fadl ibn Sahl, he told us why we shouldn't ignore it. Why we shouldn't ignore the calamity, the test, the trial, that your wife got pregnant and you don't have any children, and then she lost the baby. And then she got pregnant again, and then she had another miscarriage. And then she got pregnant a third time, and then a fourth time, and then a fifth, and a sixth, and you start blaming it on the ayn, and blaming it on hasad, on envy and jealousy. If you stick and hold fast to a sabr, to patience and perseverance with the calamity, then you will realize that there's a blessing in the calamity. This will show your intelligence. This will show your wisdom. Don't ignore it. فَهِيَ تَمْحِيسٌ لِلذُّنُوبِ, because it erases sins. وَتَعَرُّدُ لِلثَّوَابِ الصَّبْرِ, and it gives the person the opportunity to attain the reward for being patient. وَإِقَاظٌ مِنَ الْغَفْلَةِ, and it's a means of getting rid of negligence. It's a means of stopping and being awakened. It's a wake-up call to negligence. وَتَذْكِيرٌ بِالنِّعْمَةِ فِي حَالِ الصَّحَّةِ, and it reminds one of the blessings that a person has at the time of health. Because when you were healthy, you didn't pay attention. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted you with MS. He sent your way polio, which is on the rise now, after being done away with. Allah has willed it to return to this country. Al-Fadl ibn Sahl, he said, وَإِسْتِدْعَاءُ لِلْتَوْبَةِ, and it is something that calls the person to repent. Because before, you weren't thinking about repenting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Alim al-Hakim, the all-knowing, the all-wise, he allowed you to be afflicted because you weren't repenting. So he sends that thing your way so that you can repent, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says all through his book, that corruption has occurred on land and sea. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرُ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Corruption, calamities, has come to land and sea because of what the human being's hands have earned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this so that man can taste a portion of what they have done. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they can return to Allah in repentance. Al-Fadl ibn Sahl, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the person should understand, the wise person will know that there's a blessing in the calamity that shouldn't be ignored, because it erases the sins and it gives one the opportunity to attain the reward for patience. And it dispels negligence and unmindfulness and reminds one of the blessings at the time of health, and it calls one to repent. وَحَدٌّ عَلَى الصَّدَقَةِ, and it also encourages the person to give charity. Because Bab al-Nasr, the door of help that this brother and this sister, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, put together, it is something that reminds us that maybe one day we may be homeless. That maybe one day we may have our lights turned off. That perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us in a situation in the dead of winter and we don't have comforters or a heated blanket or electricity or a fireplace. So it increases the awareness to encourage the person to give charity. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about that, that the charity of the person is going to be a shade on the day of resurrection. A shade on the day of resurrection. Because there's going to come a day when there's not going to be any shade except the shade of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. There's not going to be any shade whatsoever except for the shade of Allah. Because we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is collected by Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring the sun, the distance to the earth, the distance of a meal. And that's not M-E-A-L. That's M-E-E-L. A meal. In the Arabic language, the word meal is a mile. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, the sun that is 93 million miles away from the planet, Allah, out of His infinite strength and power, will not let us burn up, but rather He will bring the sun a distance of a mile away from the earth, and we will not burn up, but rather there will be people who will have their perspiration up to their ankles, and standing in their perspiration up to their knees, and some in their sweat up to their waist, and some others up to their necks, and some drowning in their sweat. But the person sadaqah will be a shade for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the ulama, they say, through misfortune, the believer seeks reward, and there's no way to attain it but through patience. And there's no way to be patient except by way of Iman. Iman. Wa iradatun qawiyya. Resolute Iman and strong will. Remember the words, brothers and sisters, especially you women, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing, wondrous is the affair of the believer. For all of the affairs of the believer are good. And this only applies to the person who's truly a believer. And we should remember that kullu mu'min Muslimun wa laysa kullu muslimin mu'minan. We should remember that every single believer is a Muslim, but every Muslim is not a believer. This affair, this amazing affair of the Muslims, is only for the believer from amongst the Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "In asabathu sarra shakara, fa kana khayran lahu." If something good happens to him or her, he or she is thankful for it, and that's good for them. "Wa in asabathu darra sabara, fa kana khayran lahu." And if something bad happens to him or her, they bear with it with patience, and that is also good for them. And this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. So if a calamity or misfortune or mishap or disease or an ailment befalls a Muslim, then it is upon that Muslim to say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." To Allah we all belong, and to Allah we're all going to return. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the revelation revealed to him, all of it from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had him recite to his companions and for all those who came after them until Yawmul Qiyamah, the statements of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Verily, without a doubt, give glad tidings to the people who are patient. Those who, when they are afflicted with a calamity, they say, "Indeed, we belong to Allah, and truly to Him we're going to all return." They are the ones who are upon salawat from Allah. They are the ones who receive salawat from Allah, and salawat, which is the plural word for salah. In this verse, the word salah means tazkiyah, wa sana' wa maghfira minhu. Tazkiyah, wa sana' wa maghfira min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tazkiyah means that Allah is commending them. Sana' that Allah is praising them. And maghfira, that Allah is forgiving them. This is salawat from Allah. But it doesn't stop there. Also from their Lord, they receive rahmah. They receive mercy from Allah. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The beneficent, the most merciful, and the mercy giving. And it doesn't stop there. They receive huda, hidayah from Allah. They are the ones who are guided. Salama رضي الله تعالى عنها أم المؤمنين, the mother of the faithful, the wife of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. She said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما من مسلم تصيبه مصيبة فيقول ما أمره الله إن لله وإن إليه راجعون اللهم اجرني في مصيبتي واخلف لي خيرا منها إلا أخلفه الله خيرا منها. Imam Muslim collected this hadith, rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that his wife said, she said, I heard him say, there is no Muslim who is stricken with a calamity and they say, verily to Allah we belong, and unto Him is our return. O Allah, reward me for my affliction, and compensate me with something better, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate him with something better. Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, فَلَمَّا مَاتَ أَبُو سَلَمَا. So when Abu Salama, meaning her dear husband, one of the great companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, died, she said, I said, أَيُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَبِي سَلَمَةٍ. Who from amongst the Muslims is better than Abu Salama? Like some of the sisters believe. They believe that if their husband died, they won't be able to find a better man. Some of the brothers are so kind and so generous and so gracious and so romantic and so respectful and so tender and so spending upon their wives that if they were to die, their wives would say, I don't see anyone else in Southwest Philly and West Philly in Chester or any other place that can be better than him. Rahimahullah. Umm Salama, she said, Ayyul Muslimina khayru min Abi Salama. Who amongst the Muslims is better than Abu Salama? In other words, who can take his place? She said, Awwalu baytin hajara ila Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, because his house was the first house that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to. The first house to migrate to join the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then she said, Inni qultuha fa akhlafa Allahu liya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I said those words that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to say, and Allah compensated for me, put in the place of Abu Salama, the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi wa barakatuh. Secondly, the ulama of Islam, they say, وَهُنَاكَ أُمُورٌ إِذَا تَأَمَّلْهَا مَنْ أُصِيبَ بِمُصِيبَةٍ هَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ مُصِيبَتُهُ وَخُفَّتْ. There are some things which if a person is stricken with calamity, if they think about them deeply and they consider and ponder upon them, that will make the calamity easier for him or her to bear. Number one, and this is from the statements of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah in his book Zad al-Ma'ad. He says, أن ينظر إلى ما أصيب به فيجد ربه قد أبقى عليه مثله أو أفضل منه وادخر له إن صبر ورضي ما هو أعظم من فوات تلك المصيبة بأضعاف مضاعفة وأنه لو شاء لجعلها أعظم مما هي. If he or she looks at what has befallen them, he or she will find that what his Lord has left for him is similar to it, or better than it, or more superior, if that person is patient and accepts it. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up for him something that is many times greater than that of what they lost by way of the calamity. And if Allah had willed, He could have made the calamity greater. If Allah had willed, and I always like to tell brothers and sisters, especially the brothers, when brothers come to me and they ask me, how should I deal with this calamity? Brother Dawood, how should I deal with this misfortune? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me, I haven't seen my children in a year. I haven't spoke to my children in 6 months because their mother has bumped her head on a silly tree. And she's not following what Allah has dictated. And she's in opposition to the statements and the commandments of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though she got married. She's keeping my children from me. How should I deal with it, Brother Dawood? I tell him to be patient. Isbir nafsaka ala sunnah. Be patient with yourself upon the sunnah. And take that calamity and turn it inside out. Because when you turn inside out, the leather on the other side is swayed. Be patient with what Allah has sent your way. Be patient with what Allah has sent your way. Because it could be worse. How could it be worse, Brother Dawood? It could be worse because you could be going through this as a Catholic. You could be going through this as a Buddhist with no book of guidance or light, no revelation to turn to read how to deal with it properly the way Allah has commanded you to deal with it. You could be dealing with it as a Mormon or a Seventh-day Adventist. You could be dealing with it as an atheist, homo, or lesbian, not knowing what to do. You could be dealing with it turning to drugs and alcohol, but Allah made you a Muslim, and He sent down a book, and He gave you an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who no human being went through what he went through. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he was asked, su'ila an-nabiyyu sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ayyu an-nas ashaddu al-bala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. He was asked, which, O Prophet of Allah, which of the people, meaning mankind, are the most tried and tested? He said, the prophets. Then those who are like them, and then those who are like them. There's no Muslim on the face of the planet Earth that's going to be tried or tested greater than a Salafi. No Muslim that's going to be tried or tested with calamities or misfortunes more than the Salafi. How do you say that, Brother Dawood? What gives you the right to say that? I'm a Sufi. You're going to tell me as a Sufi, I'm not going to be tried and tested greater than a Salafi? No. I'm a Tablighi, which is an undercover Sufi. You mean to tell me I'm not going to be tried and tested? I'm a Bilali. Bilalian. I'm an Ikhwani. You mean to tell me our test is not as great? No. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-anbiya'u fal-amthal thumma al-amthal. He said, the prophets are the greatest in the test and the trial, then those who are like them, and then those who are like them. And those from the common Muslims who are the closest to the way the Messenger of Allah is, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the Salafi, and that's my proof. قال ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه لكل فرحة ترحة وما ملئ بيت فرحا إلا ملئ ترحا. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, for every moment of joy, there is a moment of sorrow. And no house is filled with joy, except that it will be filled with sorrow. Every moment of joy has a moment of sorrow. And no house is filled with joy, except that it will be filled with sorrow. So the ulama, like Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah, they say that the fire of calamity can be extinguished by thinking of those who have been hit even harder. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sisters, when you have those problems, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. He said, look at the one who is beneath you. Look at the one who is beneath you. And don't look at the one who is above you. فَإِنَّهُ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Because that will be more suitable, so that you won't be unmindful of the blessing of Allah upon you. انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. Look always at the one who is beneath you. In other words, somebody's always catching it greater than you. Someone is always getting hit greater than you. I remember when I was a little kid, and right now I wear size 14. That's shoes, that is. So nobody won't get confused. As a little kid, 6 years old, 7 years old, the kids used to laugh at me when I used to go to school. Because as a 70-year-old and a 6-year-old, my shoes were larger than the average 7-year-old. You know? I used to wear, as we say it back in my day, I used to wear the shoe boxes. And I used to come home crying. Because the kid, Davy got big feet, Davy got big feet, Davy got big feet. So I used to come home to the projects and cry. And my mother used to take me out, and she used to say, "You see Mr. Robinson down the street? You know Mr. Robinson, right?" I said, "Yeah, Mr. Robinson." She said, "You know Mr. Robinson, right?" I said, "Yeah, the man who doesn't have any feet at all." She said, "He doesn't have any feet. He can't even put on shoes because he doesn't have any feet. انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من فوقكم. Always look at the one who's beneath you and don't look at the one who's above you because that's more proper and befitting. And لا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. So you won't be unmindful of the ni'mah of Allah upon you. Yes, you're working at your job at a machine shop, and from across the room, a piece of metal comes off the machine, flies all the way across the room, strikes you in your right eye, knocks it completely out. Now you only got one eye. What about the person who has no eyes? What about the person that's never even seen the face of their husband? At least you got the chance when you had the two eyes. And even when you have the one eye with a patch over your eye, at least you see your husband. At least you see your children's faces. At least you can see them. You can see the stars and the moon and the sun. You can see the clouds as Allah pushes them by His permission and His power as they move. You can see the grass coming out of the ground and the changing of the seasons. انظروا إلى من هو أسفلكم أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. Look at the one who's above you. Don't look at the one who's beneath you. The ulama, they say, if that person were to look at the people around them, they won't see anything but people who are tested. Wallahi al-azim, sisters, while you standing in the ranks in the salah, I guarantee you, no matter how shiny that sister's Lexus is, the sister on the right of you, and the sister on the left of you, who has that infinity, and you on the bus, on the subway, believe me, sister, that sister on the right of you with the Lexus and the one on the left of you with the infinity, she's being tested too. Some kind of test. Even if it's just in the infinity, she's being tested. Even if it's just in the Lexus and you taking a subway, she's being tested. Maybe her test is that Allah has given her wealth and she's not spending it. And on the day of Hisab, when we're going to be held accountable of every single thing, including our loot, our cash, Allah is going to ask her, "Did you look after those who needed help? Why didn't you feed me? And why didn't you clothe me? Oh Allah, how can I feed you when you're the one who feeds? How can I clothe you when you're the one who clothes? But my servant needed food. And my servant needed clothes. And you didn't feed them." The ulama, they say that the pains of this world are like dreams or like a passing shadow. If you laugh a little, you'll weep a lot. And if you're happy for a day, you'll be miserable for a lifetime. And if you have what you want for a little while, then you'll be deprived for a long time. There is no day of happiness except that is followed by a day of pain. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah, he said that Muhammad ibn Sirin said, مَا كَانَ دَحِكَ قَطْ إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بُكَاءٍ. There is never any laughter except that there comes after it weeping. There's never any laughter. Do you think that you can laugh all the time? Do you think that you can smile all the time and be happy all the time? Hakadat dunya. That's the way the dunya is. The dunya is darul ibtila wal fitan. The dunya, the life of this world, is an abode of trials, tribulations, masa'ib, calamities. And that's why the tabi'i, rahimahullah, masruq, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, al-masa'ibu wal-amradu wal-ahzanu jaza'. And they've attributed this statement to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's not from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather it is from masruq, rahimahullah. He said that calamities and misfortunes and diseases and ailments and sorrow and sadness is a reward for the believer. It's a reward for the believer. The person should know that panicking, bugging out, flipping out, going crazy, striking at their cheeks, tearing their clothes, boo-hooing to the extent that they got to take volumes, all of this won't make the calamity go away. It will not make the calamity go away, but rather it'll make it worse, because you're in opposition to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You should also know, dear sisters and brothers in Islam, barakallahu fikum jami'an, that missing out on the reward for being patient and submitting yourself to what Allah has sent your way is a mercy. It's a guidance. It's a blessing from Allah. It should also be noted that panicking makes your enemy happy. Who's your enemy? Shaitan. It makes Shaitan happy. Every time you panic, when something happens to you, a calamity, a misfortune, it makes Shaitan happy. And unfortunately, there are some Muslims who have made themselves partners and friends to Shaitan. And they also become happy from your calamity. So every time you freak out, and you panic, and you bug out, and you don't respond to the calamity and the misfortune the way the true Sunni should respond, then they become happy. The ulama, they also say that one should take note that what comes after being patient and seeking the reward of Allah is the pleasure of Allah, and pleasure for the person, and joy for the person, which is many times greater than what they would have gotten or what they have lost if they would have remained patient. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, يَوَدُّ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَنَّ جُلُودَهُمْ كَانَتْ تُقْرَضُ بِالْمَقَارِيفِ الدُّنْيَا لِمَا يَرَوْنَ مِنْ ثَوَابِ أَهْلِ الْبَلَاءِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, on the day of resurrection, the people will wish that their skins had been cut with scissors in the dunya. On the day of resurrection, and this hadith is collected by Imam at-Tirmidhi, and it is authentic. On the day of resurrection, the people will have wished, they will have desired, meaning that they could go back to the life of the dunya and have their skin cut with scissors when they see the reward of those who were struck with calamity. Meaning, when they see the people who were patient in the dunya with the calamities, they persevered in the life of this world from the misfortunes and the disasters that befell them, those people who were sabirun, who were patient, the people who weren't patient, on Yom Qiyamah, they will wish that on that day, the day that they were in the dunya, their skin could have been cut with scissors, rather than go with what they were going to lose in the next life for not being patient with the calamities Allah sent their way. It also should be noted, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you patient and perseverant, that the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is testing you, is the most wise. He's Ahkamul Hakimin. And he's the most merciful. Arhamul Rahimin. And he didn't send that calamity to you in order to destroy that person, to destroy you, or to cause you pain, or to finish you off. But rather he sent it to the person to evaluate that person, to investigate that person, to check on that person, to look at their patience, and of course Allah already knows, so that that person can be accepting and accept the faith and the true Iman. And so that person can call on Allah and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility and not complaining. It also should be noted that were it not for trials and tribulations in this world, a person might develop arrogance. A person might develop a big ego. A person might develop self-admiration. A person might develop a hard heart, which would lead to the doom of that individual in this life and their destruction in the next life. And I'm utterly amazed, brothers and sisters, I'm utterly amazed how when a person is tested as a Muslim to being an alcoholic or being a crackhead or going back to the cooker and shooting and banging heroin and cocaine, how at the same time they can be arrogant. I'm amazed. I'm utterly amazed how a person could be tested by Allah, fall back into heroin after staying off it for 10 years, 16 years, 25 years, and at the same time be arrogant, an arrogant crackhead, an arrogant heroin user. I'm amazed. From the signs of the mercy of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he checks on the person. He checks on the person from time to time with the remedy of the calamity to protect that person from the disease of arrogance and hard-heartedness. And it should also be noted that the bitterness of this world is the essence of the sweetness of the hereafter. Listen closely. It should be noted and understood that the bitterness of the dunya is the essence and the core of the sweetness of the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn the former into the latter. And likewise, the sweetness of the dunya is the essence of bitterness in the hereafter. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, خُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِمِلْكَارِهِ وَخُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. Paradise is surrounded with difficulties and hell is surrounded with desires. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, and this is with regards to the person who responds well to the calamity and they understand that it's a blessing and a gift from Allah. Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, مُصِيبَةٌ تُقْبِلُ بِهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُنْسِيكَ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. سبحان الله. سبحان الله. He said, the calamity, that makes you turn to Allah. When you got evicted, when your lights got turned off, when your husband left you with 7 babies and 1 in the oven, the calamity that makes you turn to Allah instead of turning to them drugs and turning to the tranquilizers, the uppers and the downers, turning to the wet, using wet, start drinking them 40s. The calamity, Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he said, that makes you turn to Allah is better for you than a blessing that makes you forget the remembrance of Allah. Abu Sufyan ibn Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, مَا يَكْرَهُ الْعَبْدُ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِمَّا يُحِبُ لِأَنَّ مَا يَكْرَهُهُ يُهْجِيهُ لِلدُّعَى يُهِيدُهُ لِلدُّعَى وَمَا يُحِبُّهُ يُلْهِيهُ مَا يَكْرَهُ الْعَبْدُ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِمَّا يُحِبُ لِأَنَّ مَا يَكْرَهُهُ يُهِيدُهُ لِلدُّعَى وَمَا يُحِبُّهُ يُلْهِيهُ. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, what a person dislikes may be better for him than what he likes, because what he dislikes causes him to call upon Allah, whereas what he likes may make him heedless of Allah. Brothers and sisters, these small words from the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of Allah Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the Imams of the Salaf, beginning with the Sahaba, radwanallahi alayhim ajma'een, is just a reminder to myself and then to you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless those who have put this program together and started this venture called Bab al-Nasr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them to help the Muslims throughout this country. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them all of the monies that they need to assist those families who are in need. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make those of us who have the ability to spend their wealth for this effort and efforts like them, and those people who have been afflicted with calamities and misfortunes, be patient and perseverance. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi وأصحابه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك.